This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre on Joy 94.9.
Joy. Hello everyone, welcome to Well, 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 the show brought to you live every Tuesday from midday here at Joy. My name's Anthony and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Carlos and Jack. G'day, guys.
G'day.
Hey,
g'day,
Anthony,
listeners.
How are you?
And men in front of me.
thanks, Tim, for the news. Thank you to the gorgeous Callum for doing the morning show.
Yes.
Good old Callum. And we've got a great show lined up today.
Well, we have, but just before we get on to that, just a little updates on some news items. We've got a very special event coming up on the 4th of July at the Laird Hotel. It's two of our premiership partners, the Chargers and the Surf Water Polo Club.
Yes.
It's surf versus turf. Doors open at 8 p.m. on Saturday, the 4th of July at the Laird. And the first kickoff or playoff or bout is at 9 p.m. So come along and support the boys to support the community.
What are they actually doing? What will they be doing there?
Well, that's a competition between brawn and beauty, I think.
Okay.
You said the Surge and Chargers.
That's right.
Yeah, cool. Because I heard surf.
Surge.
I did hear surf as well. That's what I thought. I thought some surfers were coming down.
No, it's the Melbourne Surge.
But anyway, we've got, look, this show every Tuesday at midday on Well, 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 we discuss all matters related to sex, health and well-being in the LGBTI community. What have we got on today?
Well, it's a very special one. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about domestic violence in the GLBTI community and how police can support people in the community in regard to any abusive relationships they find themselves into. And show will take a look at the role family violence plays within our community, and in today, women's domestic violence, women as perpetrators, not necessarily victims.
Right. Sounds interesting.
It is going to be a very interesting show. So to get in contact with us and to participate in the conversation, please send us a message on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1-300-JOY-949 or send us an email on air@joy.org.au, or even send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949.
That's it, folks. So get involved in the discussion today. Interesting chat. Not one we have had on Well, Well, Well before, I wouldn't think. But so we've got some interesting guests coming up.
Who are the guests, by the way?
Yep. So we've got Mel Creek coming on the show. She's from LifeWorks, and she runs the anger management program out there for women, Women's Anger Management Group. So she's a counsellor. We'll hear from Mel. And we also have Moo Belch from, who is the CEO of Domestic Violence in New South Wales. So we'll hear a little bit from her as well later on in the show.
Great.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're with Carlos, Anthony and Jack. And we are talking about, we've been talking about domestic violence or family violence for the last two shows, and today we're talking about intimacy in lesbian relationships and violence that may occur there. We have Mel Creek from LifeWorks on the line, from LifeWorks's anger management program. Mel, welcome to Joy.
Thank you very much.
Now, Melanie, it's Jack here. Can you just please begin by explaining your role to us and something a little bit about yourself as well and the program you run?
So my role is to run the Women's Anger Management Program called the Sea Change Program.
Mm-hmm.
And my background is in psych and in family therapy. And predominantly we provide couple counselling and relationship counselling and a range of different group programs. We have men's behaviour change program. Mm-hmm. We have an assertive program for women and separated parents program. So there's a range of different groups that we offer. And my role predominantly is in relationship and couple counselling, but also to facilitate the women's sea change program, which is an anger management program for women.
Now, Melanie, when it comes to women, how did they actually find out about the program, and why do they attend?
I think there's a variety of different reasons. Some people come through, you know, our website. I think a lot of people look at the website or Google, you know, anger management programs for women, and there aren't a lot around. So a lot of people come in through self-referral and identifying, you know, that they have an issue that they wish to address and looking for a group or, you know, individual counselling. Some people come through individual counselling sessions that they may have had with one of the counsellors at one of the branches, where they've identified that they have anger management issues and come through that way. Some people come through corrections or may come through, you know, a whole variety of different ways. A GP might know about it. Other program and services know that we run the program, so they may come through that way, you know, as well.
Does it fill up, Mel? Do you get a lot of people, a lot of women coming to these groups?
We do. You know, we've had a 10-week program that we've run this year already, and you know, we probably have about 12 people in that group. So we certainly don't have any issues with, you know, filling the numbers for the group at all.
And do you have many lesbian women? Is it lesbian and straight women who attend?
Look, the group is open to, you know, all women.
Any women,
All women. And, you know, what we do is we actually have an intake and assessment process at the beginning. And that's really to establish with the women, whether a group is the best, you know, intervention for them. Some people, you know, may have anxiety or other issues about being in a group. And really, for them, it might be that individual counselling is a better way to go. And, you know, also in that we're looking at mental health issues and, you know, other issues which may mean that they are not appropriate for the group.
Okay, you've got referral pathways for that group or any individuals who may be better suited to one-on-one counselling.
Yes, that's right. And look, for some people, they don't really want to be in a group. And I guess that's one of the things about anger and women's anger in particular is that, you know, often women have, you know, issues in identifying that they've got anger issues and that there's, you know, shame associated with that and feel, you know, that they don't necessarily want to be in a group, you know, environment.
That's an interesting point because I guess, Mel, culturally, I guess women aren't really, in a way, allowed to be angry or to express anger. It doesn't sort of neatly fit with our ideas of femininity. So how do you address those sorts of things in the group and about, you know, expressing anger perhaps in healthy ways and that sort of thing?
Well, I guess one of the things that we talk about really early in the group is that, you know, for women in particular, there are a lot of stigmas around, you know, being angry. And, you know, initially the women are really hesitant, you know, about being in the group, I think, because, you know, they're not sure what's going to happen. So first of all, we talk about, you know, what is anger? And then we talk about, you know, what are some of the obstacles in being able to express anger? So look, for some of the women coming into the group, it's not that, you know, the issue with anger is, you know, when they become angry, they might withdraw or stonewall. It's not actually being vocal about their anger. So some people are coming to learn how to, you know, what to do with that anger, and, you know, how to express it in a healthier way and be assertive about how they go about that, rather than, you know, I guess internalising it and not having an avenue or the skill to know what to do, you know, with it. So, you know, there's a variety of different reasons that people would come into the group, you know, to talk about anger. But certainly we discuss some of the issues that people have. Often people aren't discussing with anybody, you know, they wouldn't tell their friends that they're coming to a women's anger management group because they would feel that they might be judged about that. And their anger may only be within their own family and towards their children possibly or towards their partner. And people would have no idea that they actually have real trouble in, you know, managing their anger.
So you did talk about recognizing what anger is. Can you explain a little bit how does it manifest?
So, look, anger is a normal emotion. It's something that we all experience. And for, you know, a person that wasn't in the group or didn't identify it as problematic, you know, for them, it's that we have the experience of anger and we are able then to respond appropriately rather than react from a place of anger. So we're able to, you know, intervene in the physical process, in the psychological process, and recognise, you know, we're feeling really angry, and hopefully we can then, you know, drop down into an underlying feeling or a trigger for that anger and identify that, and then go about being assertive, you know, with in responding to that, either with another person or however it might be. You know, we might say something like, you know, I feel however I feel, and be able to explain it in a calm way rather than, you know, yelling and screaming or shouting at somebody.
Sure.
For people who, you know, with anger management problems, I guess it's multifaceted and it's complex, but it's also that, you know, that process physiologically happens very, very fast.
Yes.
And when they have that feeling, they react to that feeling. I'm feeling angry, so, you know, I will respond to that feeling that I'm having internally and yell and scream. Some people don't realise that there's actually a physiological process there that they can intervene in, that the body actually has certain steps that it's actually telling you when it's building up to that process. And that's one of the things we do in the group, is teach real body awareness about having the capacity to intervene, you know, before that, and giving some skills and strategies about, you know, how to take time out and then how to go back and resolve conflict.
Right. So it sounds like there's a real sort of kind of tuning into sort of what's going on with your body and just sort of trying to sort of manage yourself before. Because I think about, you know, when we get angry, we're constantly wanting other people to do different things or say different things or behave in certain ways, and
That's like, right.
Your group really focuses on the individual and what they can do for themselves.
Well, absolutely. I mean, nobody can make us feel, you know, anything. It is our internal process that's happening. And if you had four or five people in exactly the same circumstance, you know, they would all probably respond and react in a different way, either internally, you know, to that situation.
Right. Mel, stick around with us. It's interesting to hear about what goes on in a women's anger management program. So we'd like to hear more from you. So we'll be back right after this. This is Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and today we're discussing family violence, with women's violence in particular. And joining us for this discussion is our very special guest, Melanie Creek. Melanie, welcome back. Melanie's from LifeWorks. Now, Melanie, is there any, you've mentioned that there are lesbian women who participate in your program. Is there any challenges in particular for you running them in regard to same-sex attracted women compared to women who come along and have a heterosexual context around family violence?
Look, I think for the women, you know, one of the questions that women often ask, gay or lesbian women ask us, you know, in the intake session, is some of them don't want to be identified as gay or lesbian. Some women travel specifically to different offices or branches because they don't really want to be identified, you know, if they were, you know, locally. But, you know, I think that there's also the issue for that group of women about, you know, fear of sort of being exposed in the group, particularly about discussing, or, you know, about the potential that there's any women in the group that might be homophobic, you know, to the issues that are raised for them. But I don't think that there's anything majorly different. I think the bonding thing for everybody in the group is that they, in my experience, is that they all are there because they really want to change something about the way that they respond to anger, and that all of the women that come in with, you know, varying different degrees of, you know, anxiety about their personal issues, and part of our job as a facilitator is to sort of break that down and for us all to be, you know, really focused on, you know, the anger as an issue.
Mm.
Now, Melanie, in the program that you actually run, do you tackle violence, or is it just managing anger?
Well, I thought it would be important to actually make the distinction between anger and violence, and certainly, you know, it's an anger management group, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the women that are in the group that are experiencing issues managing their anger are violent. Certainly, occasionally, there are people that have had, you know, assault charges or, you know, that they have been violent in their relationship. And certainly, one of the things before they would go into the group, you know, anybody, gay or lesbian or straight, is to see whether their partner's safe, but also to see whether they're at, you know, the point where they can, you know, not be violent while they're in the group. So, I mean, the really big distinction between anger and violence is anger in itself is you know, a really natural emotion that we all experience, and sort of maladaptive anger, if you like, the reason that the women are in the group is where, you know, that becomes really difficult for them to feel that they've got capacity to change that that experience and that they react to it rather than respond. And I guess the difference is with violence is violence can be physical, you know, it can be emotional, it can be sexual, it can be financial. And violence is always about, you know, control, and that that is not necessarily the case that is happening for, you know, with the women in their group, because they're experiencing, you know, issues around controlling their anger. Doesn't mean that they are necessarily that flows into being, you know, violent. Yeah. They're quite different.
Mel, what would you say about, I mean, I can understand that there are some differences and perhaps some different frameworks in sort of working with heterosexual relationships, but I'm just wondering with lesbian relationships, whether when sort of anger is expressed and perhaps violence is used, that it, would you say that it's still about power and control in those relationships as well?
Look, I think so. You know, I'm certainly not an expert in, you know, the differences, you know, around that. And, you know, probably, you know, DVIRC, which is Domestic Violence, you know, Incest Resource Centre, you know, they would have a lot of more information about the frameworks. I think it's really difficult to do that in terms of describe that. I don't know that the research is really clear, you know, about that.
But yes,
certainly violence is really, you know, violence is about, you know, making the other person submissive to, you know, in terms of fear. And it's a different issue than anger. Anger is much more, you know, it's an internal process that we don't have control over. And yes, it damages our relationships. Whereas violence is about power and control of the other person, and it's coercive. So it's much, you know, it's a different step. It's a different stage, I guess.
Okay. Well, Mel, how do if there are any lesbian, bisexual, queer women listening, and they may identify themselves as having an anger management issue, how can they get in touch with you? And how often do your program run?
Look, there's programs running pretty much all of the time, and at different branches that would be running, you know, periodically. And, you know, they could call, you know, a head office, which is in Melbourne, is 865-06200. And also probably another really good number to give you is, you know, for people who may be listening who may have experienced or be experiencing violence currently, is Safe Steps, which is, you know, a resource centre for women that can help them, you know, with a safety plan, referral, advice, or help
Great.
Them to get into a refuge they need to.
Yes.
And their number is 1-800-015-1-8824. It's a 24-hour number, 7 days a week. So certainly they could get information there, or, you know, through the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard too.
Yes. Or let's not forget the VAC. We do run services, family violence services and counselling services as well. And Mel, we'll put those numbers up on our Facebook page. So thank you for passing on those details. And thank you for coming onto the show and giving us a real insight into the anger management program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution.
Here's the solution.
Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
That's right. This is Well, 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 brought to you by Carlos, Anthony and Jack on Joy 94.9. And joining us for this discussion regarding same-sex female violence is our next guest, Moo Bolsch, who's the CEO from Domestic Violence New South Wales. Welcome to the show, Moo.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Now, Moo, can you just tell us something about yourself, a brief background of your involvement with Domestic Violence New South Wales, please?
Sure. Yeah, I've been here in the role of CEO for just over a year now, and Domestic Violence New South Wales, prior to being the peak body for specialist domestic violence services in New South Wales, was the women's refuge movement.
Mm-hmm.
And my involvement with Domestic Violence New South Wales actually came about because prior to that, I was working at ACON, so the formerly the AIDS Council of New South Wales.
Yep, know it well. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, running the LGBTI domestic violence project there for 3 or 4 years. So I actually sort of came into the mainstream part of the sector through the LGBTIQ connection, which is a pretty good way to do it.
Absolutely.
So we were talking about domestic violence in same attracted women relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a lot of that in the organisation that you work for?
Look, I think it's fairly widespread. The international evidence says that 1 in 3 gay men and lesbians experiences some kind of abuse or violence in their relationship, in their adult relationship, which is fairly similar to heterosexual cisgender women. And we also know that transgender and intersex women are also exposed to fairly high levels of violence, you know, in intimate partnerships, but also within family relationships and other places as well. So, it's an issue. It's certainly something that's out there. And I think over the last 10 to 15 years, you know, services and support services and organisations and domestic and family violence networks have got better at understanding what same-sex domestic violence looks like, you know, particularly for women.
So yeah, because there are some differences. I mean, I guess power and control and abuse can be experienced in the same way by anybody, no matter who you are. But there are some differences, aren't there, in lesbian relationships and family violence?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think one of the difficulties is that sometimes we find it really hard to identify in our relationship. So, you know, we know that for lesbian and trans women, instant partner violence in that context might look a little bit different. And you're right to talk about power and control, because when we think about intimate partner violence, it's really about a misuse of power and control in a relationship. Most of the messaging and most of the campaigns that we have really talk about that within a heterosexual cisgender context. But when we think about it in lesbian relationships, for example, it might look quite different. And I think young people can be, you know, more vulnerable to abuse within relationships because, you know, when we're first forming our relationships and they might look different to the heterosexual norm, it might be a bit difficult to pick some of those behaviours.
Is that because of when we think about violence happening in relationships, it's not something we would think happens in our community, in our relationships?
Definitely. I mean, I think communities are getting better at talking about it and identifying it, but it's a difficult conversation to have. I mean, it's hard enough to talk about it in the mainstream context.
Yes.
It's not a sexy topic to have a conversation about. But when we think about that within the context of LGBTIQ communities, it can be really difficult for us to identify it, as I said, because you might not, you know, we don't have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of really strong role model relationships for gay relationships or lesbian relationships. We don't have, you know, we don't have them out in the media and really strong portrayals of those sorts of relationships. We also know that LGBTIQ people often have some issues with reporting violence to police.
Yes.
And so while we know that domestic and family violence, you know, across the board is really underreported and, you know, we don't really know what the real stats are, I think having that extra barrier to reporting to police is a difficult one.
Yeah.
Also, people feel that services might not be able to help them with their relationship because it isn't that heterosexual norm. So even though
yes,
women do tend to go to domestic violence services, probably more than other parts of the LGBTIQ spectrum, You know, there are psychological barriers to actually going to those kind of mainstream support services and asking for support, because there's the fear that either you won't be believed, or your relationship won't be understood, or that in some way you might be portraying a really negative aspect to our relationships that, you know, we might not want to talk about with.
Yes, and because historically, same-sex attracted relationships are viewed as sort of problematic, you know, in a way it makes it even more harder to come and present an issue where there are real issues going on in the relationship. So stick around with us. We're going to come back after this break and get back into it. So you're on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
That's right, you're on Joy 94.9. We're talking to Moo Bulch from Domestic Violence New South Wales. Now, Moo, we were talking about barriers just a second ago. Do you think there are improvements? Are pathways into services to support people who are, to support LGBT women, to support them in dangerous situations?
Improved, and some of the best work that we've seen has been done by women's services, to be honest. So some of the women's refuges and other specialist domestic violence services have done some incredible work over the years to try and make their services more welcoming to LGBTI women. And I think also, you know, we're seeing some really interesting work within the LGBTIQ community organisations as well. And, you know, as we were saying, I think communities have a real responsibility to start having conversations about these sorts of things in our relationship, because really it has to be a kind of two-pronged message. It has to be communities, you know, really having conversations about this stuff that is difficult, and also services, both mainstream and probably some of the specialist services as well, getting better at responding.
Okay, we had our a very special guest, a friend of Joy FM's, Gabby Tyack, is the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer here in Victoria, and the Victorian AIDS Council has done some work with the Men's Behaviour Change Program they have there, and in connection with the training for the GLOs. Do you guys do any work with the police?
Yeah, look, I think the New South Wales Police has always been a strong part of the LGBTIQ domestic violence interagency, which is a group here of, you know, interested individuals that work in government and non-government services. And it was set up kind of during the AIDS crisis, actually, but quite a long time ago, where a number of gay men were presenting at St Vincent's Hospital in the Cross, with things, you know, symptoms that looked as if they were domestic violence. And so out of that conversation, the New South Wales Police and a number of different agencies got together and decided to start thinking about how we could have a conversation about, you know, same-sex domestic violence, as we talked about it at the time. And that led to the creation of a resource and a website called Another Closet, which,
yes,
as far as I know, it's still the only one in the country, I think, which is... and it's, you know, it's a New South Wales-based resource, but it really is a resource for anybody, anywhere, talking about issues relating to LGBTIQ relationships and domestic violence and support.
And so, I think the other, I mean, there's many things about Another Closet, and I've had to access that resource many times, and it really dispels a number of myths that that we often think about in terms of same-sex relationships that aren't actually the case. And, you know, when we think about two men or two women having a dispute, there's often this kind of misconception that it's a mutual fight because it's between people of the same gender.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think the more that we talk about things like that, and the more that we talk about things like what informed consent looks like, you know, in an LGBTI relationship, or, you know, use of drugs, BDSM, those sorts of things, the more that we're able to get really clear around what consent is and what power and control looks like, the better we'll get at being able to, you know, talk about domestic violence and abuse in relationships, and then seek support as well. And I think, as I said, communities have a really important part to play in this. I think we can get better at being good bystanders and having conversations with, you know, friends and family when we're concerned and we think that there might be something going on in their relationship that doesn't look quite right.
So, Mo, what can same-attracted women do if they see themselves within an abusive relationship?
Look, it's interesting. We've done a bit of research up here with community to just try and find out what is most helpful, not just with lesbian and trans women, but more broadly across the LGBTIQ spectrum. And what came out of that research really clearly was that people want a range of different responses. So some would like to be able to go to a mainstream service, and whether that's going to a GP, having a conversation with the police, and that might be in New South Wales, either again lesbian liaison officer or a domestic violence liaison officer. But then also a lot of people would like to have some kind of response from a specialist LGBTI organisation. So again, in New South Wales, that would be ACON or Gay and Lesbian Counselling Service, 2010. We've got a range of different community organisations here. And I think you're right. I mean, Vic AIDS has done some incredible, really cutting edge work in terms of men's behaviour change. I don't know that there's anywhere else in the country that's done that level of work in terms of being able to provide access to behaviour change for gay men.
Yeah, and the program's been running since 2003. And I think where the gaps exist in the system, really, that I can see here in Victoria anyway, are for, you know, LGBT women.
Yeah, look, and it's interesting because I think in some of those mainstream services, particularly domestic violence services and refuges here, a number of them would be an excellent place for a woman to go and get support. They will do that in a really non-judgmental manner. They'll understand the dynamics of domestic violence in a lesbian or trans relationship, for example. But then when you look at something like behaviour change, we have absolutely no programs in New South Wales that are set up to work with women who use violence in their relationships. And I think that's a major gap and something that we need to start thinking about how we work with here. I think, you know, as I said, there are a range of different responses that people want, but mainstream services can't always give the kind of response that a lesbian might need.
Sure.
The only other specialist support service that we have here in New South Wales, which I think, again, is fairly unique, is the Inner City Legal Centre's Safe Relationships Project, and that's a court support project for LGBTIQ people. Works throughout the state, and they provide, you know, legal advice for LGBTIQ people who are going through some kind of court process in relation to domestic violence. So those sorts of supports are really, really important. But
definitely,
we need to also work with the mainstream services as well to get them a lot better at working with, you know, with women.
Sure. So, look, Moo, thanks so much for joining us today. This is a very important topic, and one that I think is it's quite sensitive and an important one in our community. So thanks for sharing your knowledge and insight. If somebody in New South Wales wants to get in touch with you or you and your service, what's the number?
Oh, look, they can either, if it's somebody that's wanting support around domestic violence, the best thing for them to do would be to ring Domestic Violence Line, which is the New South Wales state government-funded number. Anybody across Australia seeking support around domestic violence should, of course, call 1-800-RESPECT because they work really well with LGBTIQ people.
1-800-RESPECT.
Yeah, that's the best phone number,
Okay, Moo, thanks very much for joining us. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1300 Joy 949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
Hi, this is Dolly Diamond, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's the only radio station that'll have me.
Welcome back to Well on Joy 94.9. I just love Dolly.
I love her.
So do I. And Dolly's a great friend of both VAC and Well, and of course Joy.
Yes.
And she's got a Christmas in July show on the Saturday, the 11th of July, and Sunday, the 12th of July, Chapel of Chapel. So let's support Dolly, who supports us.
Yes.
Any messages, Carlos?
Yes, we do, actually. Brett from Abbotsford, Jack, those sweet tones.
Oh, how nice. Mm.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks for mentioning me.
then we have Daryl saying Carlos and Jack here to support you.
Oh, that's nice.
He went to the workshops that we did recently with Down and Dirty, and any help, just contact him.
Great, thanks, Daryl.
Thank you. And Naomi, it's very impressive that you have addressed this issue regarding women. You always address the issues head on and don't hide from any topics. Great work, boys.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. And we try to address important issues in our community. And today we have been talking about same-sex, well, not just same-sex domestic violence, but anger management.
Yep.
And issues that are perhaps going on in intimate lesbian, bisexual, trans or queer women's relationships.
Yeah. And this is the latest show in a series of presentations brought to you by Well in regard to same-sex domestic violence.
Guys, time's
time.
Up. Yes, we're done for another week.
However, we'll be back next Tuesday at 12 noon with Well, same time. Different cast, perhaps? Different cast?
I'll be here.
But we're continuing next week, I think, aren't we, Anthony?
We are continuing next week. We're going to be talking about men's behaviour change in gay relationships. So
okay, we'll and that's something that VAC counselling is well adapted to.
Yeah, something we do, definitely. So tune in to that next week, guys. Just to reiterate, if you feel that your safety is in immediate danger in your relationship, don't hesitate to call 000.
That's right.
So keep yourself safe. And so thanks for joining us for another great show.
And next is Steph with the afternoon show.
The lovely Steph.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.